Do you have faith? Do you really have faith? Many will say, yes, I have faith, yes, I believe. But really, they don't. They don't have true faith. They don't have the faith which is described to us in the scriptures. They have some other kind of faith. So, perhaps you have some notes, some money. So here's a shilling in mia moja. And Nina Fikiri, Cranmer, this one is a real one. I think so. You can hold it up and you can look. But sometimes you have one and it's a fake. It's not the real thing. You go to the shop, you give them your money, and the man says, Pole, this one's not real. And then you say, well, I don't have any more. This is all my money. And he says, I can't take it. It's not real. And Patakua Watu Wengi, Watakufa, and they will find that their faith was not real. They had a counterfeit, they had something else, and they can't enter heaven. Are you sure you have the real faith, the faith that brings salvation? In this passage, here in Mark today, there are two lessons about faith. There are two people and two healings. It teaches us more of what it really means to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his gospel, in this part of it, Mark is doing the same thing again and again. Ana tu ondesha, Iesu Christu, kama wanawamungu, na kama Christo, the Messiah. But do we really have faith in him? Do we know what that means? Well, look at verse 24. Ishirini na ane. It says, Iesu alitoka mahali. He left that place. Which place? Well, he'd been in Galilee. And the Pharisees had been there. He now comes to a place which is much further north, Syrian Phoenicia, or as it says in verse 24, the vicinity, the neighborhood of a place called Tyre. That's up on the coast, but outside of the land of Israel. We're in country now which belongs to Gentiles, those who are not Jews. Perhaps he's trying to avoid now the Pharisees, their hatred and their opposition. Jesus knows it's not yet time for him to go to Jerusalem to die. It's not yet time for his enemies to take him and to nail him to the cross. He still has more work to do. So he withdraws for a time. And he goes now out of the land completely, even further up north. And it seems he didn't go there to preach. If you look at verse 24, it says he went to a house. He wasn't wanting anybody to know it. He would have hoped that his presence there could be kept secret. So it seems really it's just a time of rest. It's a time to let things become quieter again. But it couldn't be kept secret. There's a woman. We meet her in verse 25. We're told she has a little daughter. We're told that daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. And we're told about this woman, verse 26, she's not a Jew. She's a Greek, it says there. And that's a word they often use just to mean a Gentile. Because then it tells us she's not from Greece, but she's from a place called Syrian Phoenicia. And that is in this area where Jesus is. She's not one of the chosen people of God of that time, not one of the chosen nation of Israel. She's an outsider. But somehow she's heard of Jesus. And when she hears Jesus is in this place, she goes to see him. And she begs him to drive the demon out of her daughter. So she has some kind of faith. She believes that Jesus is able to do these things. She's heard of his power, and now she goes to him and she begs him. She's pleading, she's really asking, she's really earnest. And this woman then, she's a good example to us already, isn't she? Because she desires good for her daughter. You have sons and daughters. Are you trying to do good to your sons and daughters? Are you teaching them about the Lord Jesus? Are you making sure they come to the Sunday school so that they can learn? Are you bringing them, if you can, to the children's club so that they can be taught? Are you teaching them yourself at home? This woman was doing more than many of the Jews were. The Jews had had Jesus with them, but they didn't care so much, many of them. Many of them were only finding fault with Jesus. And yet, this Gentile from far away was doing more. In this church, you see, you can be like those Jews. That the word of the Lord Jesus is here, and yet you're careless. And it's not something you're taking very seriously. And yet there are people far away who the first time they hear of Jesus, they do all they can to find out about him and to get his help. This lady, we read in the other Gospels too, she pleaded long with Jesus. The other Gospels tell us at first that he didn't say anything. He was silent, yet she continued. And so here it's beginning to look like strong faith because she's continuing. Once we had somebody come to a meeting here and he said, Ninataka kua un Christo. And we thought it's wonderful. And Brother Naftali explained the gospel to him for some time. And we never saw that man again. Well, this lady, she had to continue in her pleading. And then when Jesus does answer, verse 27. What do you think of this answer? Here she is, begging for help for her poor daughter. And he says, first, let the children all eat all they want. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now, umnaweza kuelewa neno hi. Do you understand these words? She's not a Jew, she's a Gentile, she's an outsider. She's not one of God's nation. She's not one of the children of Abraham, one of the children of Israel. And Jesus is saying to her, do you know who I really am? Do you know that I've come first to the Jews? I've come as the Jewish Messiah. And I've come to bring many blessings amongst them, if they'll have it. And I haven't yet come to the Gentiles. The time has not yet arrived. Do you know who you are? You're an outsider. You haven't come and joined the nation of Israel, but you've stayed up here. What does he actually call her? Verse 27. Umwa. A dog. This doesn't sound like a encouraging reply, does it? Have you ever been called a dog? Have you had someone come and call you a dog? Well, you see, this is certainly telling us that faith is not just what they say to name something and then to claim something. Have you ever heard that teaching? They say, you just decide what you want. Then you name it, and then God will give it to you straight away. And yet here we find a woman begging for something from the Lord Jesus. And yet it seems he's pushing her away. No, friends, faith is not just that one day you say, I want salvation, and then you can have it straight away, or I want this blessing, and you can have it straight away. But no, often God will lead you some long way and some long time before you really find how to get it, before he gives it to you. Now, in many things, God may say no to you. He may say, this is not the time. Not yet. Or you may say, not at all. The thing you want will harm you. Now, he'll never say that about salvation, of course. But many things he'll say that. So if you hear this teaching that if you want something from God, you can just name the thing and God will give it to you straight away if you've come in the right way. Well, that teaching is not in the Bible. Yesu anafanya nini hapa? Kwa sababu anasema neno hizi. Anauliza kwamba mwanamke huyu, that she should humble herself. He is saying, do you really know what you are, what your status is before God, your position? Now he's called her a dog. And she could say, I've never been called this before. I thought this man was kind. I thought he would help me. How dare he speak to me? I'm a woman. And he's calling me a dog. Well, I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to listen to these things. I'm going now. But no, Jesus is asking her to humble herself. To say, yes, I am far off from God. I do not belong to the people of God. My sins and the sins of my fathers have greatly displeased God. And I cannot come and claim a right from God. I can't say, God, you must bless me and you must give me these things. But no, I must come down lower. And sometimes a scripture calls people dogs. And sometimes it calls them worms. You know, dirty little worms going through the soil. Filthy. Actually, I watched a man yesterday eat a worm. He said it was disgusting. But you wouldn't want to eat a worm, would you? True faith, then, is humble. True faith gets down low. Do you think God has to give you salvation? You think you've done something good and you've earned it from him? How many times already in Kenya, I've only been here a couple of years, how many times I've heard people say, well now, I've given up pombe, I've given up the cigara, I don't beat my wife anymore, and so now I know I'm a good person. I know I'm saved now. Surely God will save me now because I've done these good things. Do you know that before God you're a dog and less than a dog? Do you know that you must humble yourself and say, actually, God, I deserve nothing. My sins are so black in your sight that if you send me to hell today, then you've given me justice. You've given me what I deserve. True faith is humble. You can't come to God and claim salvation from him and say, this is your right. But if God shows you your sin and shows you you deserve punishment, then you must come down lower and must say, yes, I deserve it. Jesus is asking her, has she really understood who he is? Je anajua Yesu ni nani? Does she know? He's not just some mganga. He's not just some man who can do some magic. He's not one of the pagan healers. Does she know that he is the Saviour who God promised to the Jews? Does she really believe the prophets and the scriptures? Does she really understand the God of the Jews is the God of the whole earth? He's not just some local God who lives in the temple in Jerusalem, but he's the God who fills heaven and earth. Does she know who Jesus is? She just coming to Jesus because she thinks, oh, I heard Jesus can do good, I'll go to him. But if next week she hears there's somebody else who can do some good first, she'll go to him instead. See, why do you want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who do you believe he is? You're just coming to him because you think, Oh, he can help me pass my exams. If I become a Christian, God will bless me and I'll have food. And I can ask Jesus to help me with these things. But what if Jesus holds you further away in these things, like he did with this woman, and said, no, you'll have to wait? If Jesus says, no, I'm going to test you. I'm going to see what happens when trouble comes. I'm going to see what you do if you're hungry. I'm going to see what you do when there's no work. We're going to wait and see what your faith is really like. Will you then go away? Will you leave me? Will you start going to the Jehovah's Witnesses and see what they can give you? Will you start going to the Muslims or the Hindus, see what they can give you? Or will you just stay at home because you're not getting what you want from me? Do you really know who I am? And so that's the question which he is asking her. And it's the question which he's asking you too. Are you believing in Jesus because he is Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world? Because he is the one who died for sins. Because he's the only way to heaven. Because he's so full of love and you want to know him. You want to serve him. Not just because you want to get something from him. So that's what he asks. There's a lot of this magic Jesus in Kenya. This Jesus as if he's just another healer, another witch doctor of some kind, who's got powers and will go to him to get those powers. And it's just like another pagan religion. But are you believing in the real Jesus? Well, this lady did. Uone ammestari esherini nanane. Andio buona alisema. Andio. Mimi ni umbwa. I don't deserve anything from you. But look, Lord, when the children are eating their bread at the table, the dogs are allowed to come and get some crumbs. Yeah. You've told me, Lord, it's not yet time for the Gentiles. It's still the time for the Jews. The time for the Gentiles would come when Jesus had risen from the dead. And he said, go into all nations. But that time is not yet. But surely there's something for me, Lord, even now. A few crumbs. This is great faith. To take that demon from her daughter, she says, it's just like a few crumbs. Lord, I know who you are. That you have all power in heaven and earth. I know it won't be difficult for you to do this to my daughter. It's not some great act which is going to finish your strength. No, it's just a few crumbs for you, Lord. I believe. So let me be a dog, but let me have those crumbs coming down from the children's table, even now. And so she didn't go away. Aliendelea kuomba. Aliendelea mpaka alipata vitu ambavyo alivyotaka. She got what she requested. Now that is true faith. Are you going to seek Jesus and keep seeking him until you find him? Until you know that you're saved? And until you know that you're walking the way he wants you to walk? Until you know he died on the cross for you, that he paid the price for all your sins, and now they are all gone? Until you know that you have believed the gospel and are now saved? You don't know you're saved when you get some jobs or food on the table. Look around the world. There are lots of people unsaved, and God has blessed them with those things. The things of this life are not proof you're saved. Your life is going well, perhaps. Good. That does not show you you're saved. There are kings living in palaces. There are people with hundreds of houses and more food than they could eat in 100 lifetimes, and they're not saved. The Pharisees, we've read in this chapter last week, They're the leaders of Israel. They're full of food. They've got clothes. They've got houses. They're not saved. Do you know you're really saved? To be really saved is to know that Jesus took away your sins, that Jesus took your punishment when he died on the cross. Do you have that salvation? But the woman perseveres until she gets the thing that she wants. And that is true faith. It doesn't give up. Biblia Husema. He who comes to God, he must know that God is there and that God rewards those who diligently seek him. Those who carefully keep on seeking him. Those are the ones that God rewards. Well, it's this faith that brings the blessing from the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 29. It says, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And in the other Gospels, it tells us that it was the faith in the reply that he said he was amazed at her great faith. Because of her faith, he would give her what she had asked. You must stay seeking the Lord Jesus until you find him. You must say, if I'm going to perish, I'll perish here at Jesus' feet. If I'm going to go to hell, then I'll go to hell from here at the foot of the cross. I won't leave here until I know where I'm going. Until I know that I'm not going to hell because he died for me. Jesus may make you wait, but if you've got true faith, you'll wait and you'll seek him until you find him. Great is your faith. Now, are you saved yet? Or are you giving up? Or are you forgetting about it? Have you been finding something else in your life now to concern you? Jesus is willing. It's not that Jesus didn't want to bless this lady, but he was proving the true faith in her. And look, he just spoke. Said, "For such reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. It's done already." He didn't have to travel to the house. He didn't have to lay hands on her. He didn't say some great word. He just willed it. He just desired it in himself, and out went his power. Do you believe in this Jesus who has all power? As soon as he wills something, it is done. So, this Gentile woman teaches us a lesson about true faith, which continues, it perseveres, it humbles itself. It is not proud. It goes to Jesus and it stays there until it obtains the blessing. Sasa tuone mistari ishirini na moja mpaka ishirini na saba na tena tunasoma kuhusu ya faith. We're learning again about faith. But now Jesus, he leaves that region. And he comes down south again. And he goes through Galilee, verse 31. And then he carries on. And he goes out into Decapolis. This is in a remote place. Decapolis means 10 cities. Miti Kumi. Now there were some Jews in this area. But there are also a lot of Gentiles. It's over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's basically Gentile land. He's still away from the Pharisees. But another person is brought to him. Verse 32. This time it's a man. This man's deaf. He can't hear. And he's almost mute. He's dumb. He could hardly talk. Verse 32. So he can't really communicate. He can't hear what you're saying. And he finds it very difficult to say anything to you. How miserable. They bring him to Jesus. So that's showing some faith. Jesus has been in this area before. This is where he healed the demon-possessed man who was coming out of the tombs. The demon-possessed man of the Gadarenes. It's in the same kind of area. So they bring the man to Jesus. Verse 32 again, they beg him, "Please, place your hands on this man so he can be healed." So we've just seen Jesus can heal just by his will. He doesn't even have to speak. He can just say, actually, it's already done. But it seems they think he needs to put his hands on him. They're not yet seeing the full power of Jesus. So what we're going to see in this passage is a faith which has some faults in it. It's incomplete. It's he himself who can heal, not his hands. Do you really know that it's Jesus himself who saves? It's not because you stand up one day in church and the pastor prays for you or something like that. Or perhaps you've been to a church where they say, now you come down to the front. Come to the front and pastor will lay hands on you and pray for you and then you can be saved. No. It's not because you said some words. Maybe you got some booklet and it said, pray these words. And you prayed them. No, it's not. It's not anything like that. It is Jesus himself who saves. But they haven't understood that yet. There's some faults here. So what do they do? What next happens? Well, they beg him, and Jesus responds, verse 33. He takes him, but he takes him out of the way of the crowd. And when he heals him, he does it a little privately, a little secretly. Why does he do that? Well, Jesus never did anything just for the show. He never did anything sensational. It wasn't to excite people. You wouldn't find Jesus getting a great big stage and lifted up so that everybody can see what he's doing so that they can admire him. Yes, he might get somewhere where everybody can hear him teaching, but he never did his signs to impress people. It's not Jesus of Nazareth ministries where his photo is everywhere and people are praising him everywhere because of fame, just so that he can have his name made great. God, his name is great and it's to be preached in all the world, unlike any pastors today. But it's not fame for fame's sake. You know, no true man of God is seeking his own fame, should never be doing anything so that people admire him or see what he's doing. Jesus didn't want a lot of noise. Where there's a lot of noise, there's often only very little understanding. And so he takes the man aside. And what does he do to him? Now this time, he does heal him using his hands. Although he doesn't need to. And there's many ways we see healings in the scripture. Sometimes Jesus said, actually, I've already done it. But sometimes he speaks. Sometimes he touches. And this time, he puts his fingers in the man's ears. And he spits and touches the man's tongue. Then he looks up to heaven. And he says, in their language, be opened. And then it was done. Why do you think he did it this way? Why not another way? I think it's the same teaching. It is showing you that it is Jesus himself. It's a demonstration to the man that it's not some magic force which Jesus is controlling, but that Jesus has the power in himself. So he takes his fingers and he takes his own spit and puts it on the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven as a sign that he is the Son of God come down from heaven, that he is the one who rules in heaven and in earth. He gives the command to show his own personal authority. It's not some magic which Jesus has learnt. It's not some clever thing that Jesus got from somewhere. No, it's Jesus himself, 100% Jesus. But where are you looking? You think if you come to church that somehow salvation will come to you from the church. Or you think the pastor, if they let you come into the membership, that's how to get salvation. No. Do you understand? It's Jesus himself. All Jesus. That you trust in Jesus alone. What's trust? Amini. Okay. U amini. Yesu peke yake. Faith must be in Christ alone. Not in your good works. You're not trusting that God will receive you because you did something. You know, you've been giving to the offering, or you've been stopping your sins, and God will accept that as another offering from you. None of these things. Jesus alone came down from heaven. Jesus alone has heaven's power to save you. Jesus alone must take away your sins. All your sins must be placed on him on the cross. There's nowhere else for you to take them. So these people, their faith has some faults in it. But what about yours? The healing is immediate. Happens straight away. Verse 35. His tongue was loosened. His ears were opened. He began to speak plainly. He didn't need any lessons. He doesn't have to go to school. But Jesus does everything all at once. Now, these things themselves are not salvation. Too many people in Kenya are thinking that Jesus came to take away our sicknesses and diseases in this life. No, this is not salvation. It's a picture of salvation. It's not the kingdom itself. It's a sign of the kingdom. It's a physical healing so that you can understand the spiritual healing of salvation. This is not salvation. It's a picture of salvation. When Jesus heals you by saving you from your sins, he does it all immediately. If you've trusted Christ for taking away your sins, then all your sins are taken away. Your sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, they're already gone. God will never see even one of them. Jesus does the whole work once and forever. Now, truly, we have to learn then to follow Jesus. And that's a slow work. It takes us a long time to learn how to please him day by day. But the forgiveness, or to use the Bible's word, the justification, it all comes immediately and it's done. So Jesus says to him, verse 36, keep quiet. Don't tell anyone. Why does he say that? He didn't say it to the woman, and there's others he doesn't say it to. Well, I think again it's because the faith is faulty. They don't yet understand. They're going to be telling people the wrong thing about Jesus. They're going to be preaching, come to this great miracle worker, instead of saying, come to the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, and who's come to save the whole world. They're going to be preaching a Jesus who gives you a better life, instead of a Jesus who's going to take their sins to the cross of Calvary. There's going to be excitement, it's going to be sensational, but it's not going to be the truth. Well, perhaps it's, again, because he doesn't want the Pharisees to be stirred up. He doesn't want the climax. He doesn't want the crisis to come too soon. But at this time, they don't obey him. Verse 36. The more he tells them to stop spreading it, the more they spread it. True faith will lead to obedience. Uki nipenda, uta niti. Okay, you will obey me. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you feel something. I'm asking you if you're following him. You're keeping his commandments. Do you know those commandments? Numbers 1 up to 10. And all summarized by the great duty to love God and love his people. Are we seeing you keeping commandments 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10? Are you being faithful to your husband or wife? Are you being in the place of worship on God's day? Are you treating the things of God as holy? Are you being honest and avoiding anything that's dishonest, any kind of theft or stealing, any kind of, you know, going over the boundaries? Are you obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how we'll know you love him, when you obey him. That's when we'll know that you really do have faith. These people, it was faulty. And look what they say in verse 37. Do you think what they say is good? Read it. He has done everything well. Ah, Nikweli. But it's not enough, is it? Mark said back in chapter 1, verse 1, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's not enough to say Jesus is good, that he's doing well. Faith sees him as God come down from heaven to take away our sins. Is your Christianity just one in which Jesus is someone who gives you good things? Do you know him as he really is? He saves sinners. Well, they were amazed, and so they spoke about him. We ought at least to do that. If you truly love the Lord Jesus, do you speak about him to others? But I want to ask you the question. Are you looking for miracles? Are you looking for signs and wonders? Or are you looking for Jesus himself? Seems these people, they were satisfied when they saw the sign. But have you found Jesus himself as your Saviour? Do you really have this faith that you won't stop until you know that you're in Christ? That you are Christ's forever? That Christ is yours forever? That you're united to him? He's taken away your sins by his death, that now you're living for him. Do you have faith in Christ alone? Not in your good deeds, not in the church, not in your pastors, but in Christ alone for salvation.